Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'ah Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the end of Daf Chof Gimel Omid Beis, at the beginning of the new perek, the beginning of the third perek, perek Ein Tzodin of Maseches Be'ah. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, Tzedas Dogim V'chayos B'Yom Tov, trapping fish and animals on Yom Tov. It should be noted in general that Yom Tov is allowed when it comes to Meleches Oichel Nefesh, the preparation of food from preparation of food for eating on Yom Tov. So one is allowed to cook, to bake, and to light fires as a result, and to knead dough, and other, we'll say, food preparation-related activities. What about trapping animals? Trapping animals also, once you trap the animal, you can then, or fish the fish out of the water, you have it available for eating. So Rashi takes the approach that trapping is problematic, the Mishnah says is usur, because it is something that you could have done the day before, and nothing would have happened to the animal had you simply trapped it the day before, instead of waiting for Yom Tov to trap it. Whereas baking and cooking, the food wouldn't be the same had you prepared it Erev Yom Tov. People like to have it fresh. It loses its taste over the day if you were to prepare it before. So with regard to cooking and baking, one's allowed to do that on Yom Tov, but trapping animals, you could have done that from before Yom Tov. That's Rashi's approach. Tosfos has trouble with that. He doesn't accept that approach. And he presents the opinion of the Rach Mikinon, where he says the trapping is similar to harvesting, which is an action that's not allowed on Yom Tov. Either way, the Mishnah says that one is not allowed to trap fish and animals from the wild, we'll say. We have the markings to deal with, and under our Mivneh heading, you'll notice a diamond shape. And the diamond, you'll see, in the course of the Gemara, is used to highlight the expression Tzadin versus Ein Tzadin, which you'll see at the top of Chof Dalid Amud Aleph. The Gemara will present a Tanaic source that seems to contradict our Mishnah. So you'll see these terms highlighted, and we indicate Simun Lahavlit Stira Bein Mekoros. The use of this shape is to highlight the seeming contradiction between the two sources. And as throughout the Shas, whenever you have a contradiction between two Tanaic sources, the Gemara will labor on a solution. Another marking that you'll see is a triangle that highlights the word Bibrin. A Bibar is a general term. Rashi gives a French translation, and he says vivare, sounds like a vivarium, which would be a place that contains living creatures. So in the case of fish, a bibar might be a pond or a pool. And in the case of otherwise wild animals, it would be an enclosed, a fenced-in, enclosed area that we would call a bibar. Another expression, another marking that you'll see is a double underline that's used to highlight the terms chaya and of. Chaya is a kosher variety but undomesticated animal, and of is a bird. So as we look at the text, before we begin the actual sugya, we'd like to map out where we are going. So have in front of you our Mishnah right here on Chof Gimel Amid Beis, and the top of Chof Dalet Amid Aleph, you see a Tanaic source, a frame, with similar markings. In that source, you can see Ein Sodin is highlighted, and it mentions Bibrin. Bibrin, those are the areas containing the Chayan Oath. So the source there says you can't trap from them, and take from within them. And in this Mishnah, it says Sodin Chayav Oath Mina Bibrin. You are allowed to take the animals from their Bibar. So the issue that has to be analyzed is what is the status of an animal when it's in a Bibar. If the animal is free, is hard to catch when it's in the Bibar, so the action of catching it would then be called Seda. You're trapping something that was previously free. Free, of course, relatively speaking. If, however, you see, like our Mishnah, a source that says you're allowed to trap the animal to take it from the Bibar, that would indicate that when in the Bibar, it's already considered restricted, it's already considered entrapped. So you have to be able to concentrate here, and it's almost a function of juggling two expressions and what the expression connotes. So just to review, when you see an allowance, permission for tzadin, trapping, so it basically means even though the word tzadin is used, seda is trapping, and trapping is one of the ovis malachas. However, tzadin in this context can also mean simply to take from. So if you see the expression taking from the bibar, that would indicate that the creature when in the bibar is considered already entrapped. So that my taking of it isn't really adding to the animal's, isn't adding to the restriction that the animal already experiences. However, if you see a source that says that you cannot take from a bibar a chayas or oifus, animals or fish, that indicates that when in the bibar, the animal is still viewed halachically as relatively free. And if I take it, I am now doing a formal act of tzeda, of entrapping. So maybe we should have said this at the outset, but never too late. When you impose restriction on animals' movement, on animals' freedom, you are guilty of tzeda. If, however, you are not imposing restriction on the animal's movement, the animal's already quite restricted, so then my taking of the animal from that state is not prohibited, because the animal is already considered nitzod. So the basic contradiction that we're going to see in our Gemara, this is what we have to concentrate on, is what is the status of Chayas and Oifus when they are in the Bibar? Are they considered already entrapped, and hence I'd be allowed to take it on Yontif? Or are they considered free? They're considered Eino Nitzot in the Bibar, and hence I would not be allowed to catch the animal to take it from the Bibar, because when in the Bibar, it's not considered Nitzot. Let's now continue with the Mishnah. At the bottom of Chof Gimel Amid Beis, Ein Sodin Dogim Min HaBibrim B'Yom Tov. One is not allowed to trap fish from their Bibar on Yom Tov. The Ein Noistim Lifnei Mezonos, and one is not allowed to feed them on Yom Tov. Avol Sodin Chaya V'Oif Min HaBibrim. Chayas are large, or they are undomesticated kosher variety animals. Let's say a deer, for example. And oaf, birds, you can take them from their bibar. V'noisnim lifneim mezonos. And you can feed them. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, lo kol habibrin shoven. Not all biborim are the same. Ze haklal, the following is the rule. Kol hamechuser, we're at the top of chof dalon amad alef, kol hamechuser tzeda oser. Anything that went in the B-bar is lacking entrapment, meaning you would have to trap it, then it's usur. It's forbidden for you to do that. Tzeda is usur on Yom Tov. V'she'eino mechusur tzeda, if the animal is not lacking entrapment, meaning the animal's already entrapped, mutter, then you can take it from its B-bar. Once again, the B-bar is in the case of a fish, it's a pond. In the case of chayas and ophos, it would be an enclosed area, fenced-in area. An oaf, bird flies, so you have to consider it being covered up from on top as well, roofed in. The Gemara, v'ra minhu, and we raise a contradiction from a brisa. Note, we have a long question marking ahead of us. And on the side of the Gemara, you see that we're calling this, the nosei is Ishuv Stira, to resolve point of this Gemara, the topic is to resolve a contradiction, Be'inyan Tzedas Chayas and Oifas. We're going to see a contradiction regarding the entrapping of Chayas, where our Mishnah contradicts this Tanaic source regarding Chayas, and there is a similar contradiction regarding Oifas. A bow tie shape will appear, and under the Mivneh heading, you can see it represents Nisyonos Liyashev Stiros Hanal. The bow tie will come to, they will represent attempt to resolve the contradiction. So now let's see the contradiction. We start this long question. V'raminu, Bibrin Shel Chaya V'Shel Oifos. Ain tzadin mehem biyomtov. The ain nosin with name is those. As far as feeding animals are concerned, there is no argument. One is not allowed to feed these animals. Actually, we should say that regarding feeding of animals that are in the wild, so there is no contradiction. One is not allowed to feed animals that are in the wild, that are untrapped. Now, before we go further, we must repeat. In the Mishnah, we saw Bibrin, the Chaya and Oaf, in the B-bar, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, we wrote in between the lines on the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. In the B-bar, it's Kvar Nitzod. It's considered already trapped. In this Brisa, regarding the Chayas and Oifas in the B-bar, we've written in between the lines, the B-bar Eino Kvar Nitzod. It's not considered as if it's already trapped, hence you're not allowed to take from the B-bar. You would be the one responsible for its entrapment. Kashio chaya, chaya kashio oifus oifus. Well, there is a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Brisa regarding how we view a chaya in the B-bar and how we view oifus in the B-bar. Bishlamo chaya, chaya lo kashio. As far as a contradiction concerning deer, wild animals, there is really no contradiction. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbanan. One source is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, and the other source is authored by the Rabbanan. And we will show the two opinions in this Tanaic source. However, after the Tanaic source, notice, Ela Oifos, A Oifos Kashya. The Gemara tells you that regarding birds, though, there still will remain a contradiction. And hence, the Gemara will have to labor on that to resolve the issue of the bird contradiction. So in the meantime, we're saying chaya status in a B-bar is really not a contradiction. Rather, there are two opinions. We said, ha Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, disnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hatzod tzipor lemigdal utzvi lebayis, chayav. One who traps a bird in a migdal. A migdal is a type of, we'll call it a closet, a cupboard. And a tzvi is a deer, labayas. You are trapping it in a house. So that would be chayav. That would be a violation. That would be prohibited. And now we infer, labayas hu demachayav, avol lebibrin lo. Putting the tzvi, the deer is a chaya, putting it into a B-bar would, on Yom Tov, would not be a Yom Tov violation. Let's go over this. Putting the bee, the tzvi, into a house, that's very restrictive for a deer to be in a house. So that would be an act of trapping. But putting it into the bee bar, that would not be considered an act of entrapment. Now we wrote above the line, we wrote in the bee bar, it's not considered nitzod. Where did we see a description of that? Well, we saw that in the Brisa, just several lines above. We wrote in between the lines of a bee bar, eino kvar nitzod. So that the Brisa that says you cannot take a chaya from a bee bar on Yom Tov, that would be according to Rebbe Yehuda. Because Rebbe Yehuda says that when it's in the bee bar, it's considered free. So that if I had, let us say, I directed a deer into a bee bar, a large fenced-in area, and I did that on Yom Tov, and then I closed the fence of the bee bar, I closed it on the deer is now inside the bee bar, it's not considered a forbidden act, because while in the bee bar, the tzvi is not viewed as entrapped. The Chachomim Oimrim, Tzipor Lemigdal. This is similar, by the way, to Rebbe Yehuda, as far as the bird is concerned. Pushing a bird, closing the door of a closet or of a cupboard on a bird would be prohibited. Utzvi, what would be prohibited on Yom Tov regarding a tzvi? Tzvi labayis, closing the door of a house on a deer. Lagina, a garden, lechotzer, a courtyard, ula bibrin. Why would closing the gate of a bibar on a deer on Yom Tov be prohibited? Because by doing that, you are now causing it to be entrapped. And we wrote above the line, the bibar nitzod. What did we say about Rabbi Yehuda's version of the bibar? Bibar eino nechshav nitzod. So we have a machlokes tanoim about the status of a tzvi, which represents a chaya in the bibar. Hence our Mishnah and the Brisa above are not contradictory with regard to a chaya in a bibar. Simply, the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachomim. Ela oifos a oifos kashya. We didn't resolve the issue of the bird. As far as this Tanaic source with Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim in it, they said the same thing regarding the bird, that the bird is considered entrapped only when it's in a migdal, but in a house, let's say, it wouldn't be considered entrapped. So they agree on the bird. But as far as the Mishnah and the Brisa, there is a contradiction. The Mishnah indicated that you can take an oif from a bee bar, because in the bee bar the oif is considered trapped. And the Brisa says you cannot take an oif from a bee bar on Yom Tov, because when it's in the bee bar, it's not considered entrapped. The Gemara continues. V'chitema ha nami lo kashya. It might say, well, birds also, there's no contradiction. Ha b'bibar makura, ha b'bibar shena makura. The Mishnah that says you can take the bird from the bibar is because it's a roofed bibar. Since it's roofed, it's considered already entrapped. The Brisa that says you cannot take a bird from a bibar is because it's not roofed, so the bird is still free. And therefore, you cannot take it. You cannot restrict its freedom. When in the bibar, it's still free. It's eino makura. So, if you accept this resolution, so part of the premise is that in a roofed situation, the bird is considered trapped. Well, let's think about that. How would you describe a house? Is it not so that a house is roofed? What did we see before in the most recent Tanaic source? We said that entrapping a bird in a closet would be prohibited. But having it trapped in a house. In other words, if a bird flew into a house and you closed the door, that's not considered a forbidden action, because in the house, it's not considered entrapped. And we saw everyone agreed with that. So let's continue. If you want to resolve the Mishnah with the Braisa by saying that if it's a Bibur Makura, so it's considered entrapped. The bias. Dika Bibur Makura Domi. When it comes to a house is like a roofed Bibur. Ubein the Rebbe Yehuda, Ubein the Rabbanon. According to all opinions, Rebbe Yehuda and the Rabbanon, Tzipor L'migdalin, entrapping a bird in a cupboard, that is Osir, that's Chayev, that's considered entrapping. L'bayis lo, but closing the door of a bird that flew into a house, that's not considered trapping it. So, what does that mean for us? That means that the house, even though it's roofed, it's not considered entrapped. So at this point then, whether it's a Bibur Makura or a Bibur that's not Makura, in both cases, it's not considered entrapped. If that's the case, so then the Mishnah says you can pull a bird out of a Bibur on Yom Tov. What are we talking about? The Mishnah says you can take it from the Bibur, and the Braisa above says you can't. What are we talking about? How do you resolve that? Oma Rabo Bar Rav Huna, Hocha Betzipor Dror Askinon. When we say here that the house is not considered entrapped as far as a bird is concerned, it's because of the type of bird. It's a Tzipor Dror, literally a free bird or a wild bird. It's a, imagine, for those of you who are familiar, let's say, with a sparrow as opposed to a peacock. A sparrow is very hard to catch, or a hummingbird. Very swift bird that flitters around very rapidly. That's a tzipor dror. So the source, the Tanaic source that we saw, the second Tanaic source on this page, which portrayed the house as being a place that the bird is not entrapped. And only if it were entrapped in a closet or a cupboard, then and only then it would be considered entrapped. You know why? Because we're talking about a tzipor dror. The tzipor dror askinon she'eino mekabelis morus, that it doesn't accept authority. Morus literally has to do with authority. It's a very dror in something that's free, without authority, without being under someone's rule. The Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Loma Nikrot Shmo Tzipor Dror. Why is a Tzipor Dror called that? Dror meaning freedom. Shed Dora Bebayis Kibasade, dwells in a house as if it were in the fields. In other words, it's completely free. So at this point, we can use the resolution that we said before regarding birds. In other words, what we said is that the distinction shall be made between types of birds. If it's a bird that is a dror, tzipor dror, regarding that, we have the braisa that says you can't ein sodin, you can't take an oif from a bibur. A bibur would be a, for example, a house for the bird. You cannot take the bird, even though it's a roofed bibur, you cannot take it because it's a tzipor dror. If it were a non-tzipor dror, a slothful, sluggish, large type of bird, so that is what our Mishnah was talking about. You can take the tzipor, the non-dror tzipor, from the bibur. Because when it's in the bibur, it's considered already entrapped. So as far as, just to take stock of how we've resolved the contradictions till now, Regarding Chaya, the Chaya contradictions, we said it's two different Tanaic authorities. As far as the bird contradiction, so we said it's two different types of birds. The Gemara continues. Hashta de'osis lahachi, now that we've come to this point, namely, that as far as the bird resolution, we didn't have to set up the issue of the two sources regarding birds as two different Tanaic authorities. It could be the same authority, the same opinion, straight through regarding birds. The distinction is simply dependent on the type of bird. So now that we've come up with this analysis, Chaya Achaya, Nami Lo Kashi, regarding the seeming contradiction regarding Chaya and its status in a B bar, it's also not contradictory, and here we don't have to resort to a resolution based on two different authorities, which, by the way, is not the most comfortable approach. If you can take sources and make them uniform vis-a-vis authorship, that's better than setting up sources as representing two different opinions. So here we can actually resolve the Chayo contradiction without setting up the Mishnah and the Braisa according to two different opinions. The Mishnah that says you can take the Chaya from a Bibar, it's because it's a small enclosure. The animal is quite restricted already. The Braisa that says you shall not take the Chaya from the Bibar, it's a large Bibar. Hechi domi Bibar katon, hechi domi Bibar gadol. Before we continue in the Gemara, we should take note of the little chart we have on the side of the Gemara. It should be useful for review purposes. And we called it Tavla Shel Yishuv Asira, a chart for resolving the contradictions. So going down the right-hand column of the chart, we have Chaya 1, Chaya 2, and then Oif. We had two stages of resolving the issue of Chaya. The first approach said, going across the top, we have the contradiction. Across the top, Tzodin mi Bibar, and the other column reads, Ein Tzodin mi Bibar. How do you resolve that? So Tzodin mi Bibar, according to the first approach regarding Chaya, was to set that up like the Rabbanon, that held that in the Bibar is considered already entrapped, and the Braisa that said, Ein Tzodin, that is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. The second stage of the Chaya resolution was making a distinction between Bibar Katon versus Bibar Gadol. And with regard to Oifus are concerned, where the source said, suddenly Bibar, you can take a bird from the Bibar, that's a Tzipor She'eno Dror. It's not a small, free, rapidly flitting kind of bird. The source that says, ain't suddenly Bibar, that was a Tzipor Dror. That's because you're dealing with a sparrow-like bird. As we continue in the Gemara, we have also a tat nosei, a subtopic heading, Hechi domi bibor koton u bibor godol, and we'll see three pirushim, three explanations. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Omar Ravashi, he's number one. Kol hecho deroi da basra, wherever you run after the creature, umoti lo bechad shichya, and you reach it with in one lunge, that is a bibor koton. V'idach bibor gadol. Anything else would be a bibor gadol, large bibor. Rashi across from here says, b'chad shichyo b'pam achas. Shochelov, with one bending over, the tufso to catch it, ein lo lishom et menu. With just by one motion toward the creature, it can't get away from you anymore. That would be a bibor katan. We continue. Inami, another approach. Kol hecha diko uksi uksi, bibar gadol. Uksi, Rashi says, zovios, corners, an enclosed area, but it has a lot of corners for the animal to hide in. That would be a bibar gadol. The idach, if it lacks that, bibar katon. Inami, a third resolution. Kol hecha denafli tula de kosli adodi, bibar katon. If it's such, if it's small in area, so much so that the shade cast by the sun, the shade of the wall, would reach the other wall, the opposite wall, that is a bibur katan, indicates that it's a rather small enclosed area. V'idach, if any wider than that, bibur gadol. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, lo kol habibrin shoven v'chule. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel indicated that not all bibars are the same. The Mishnah, the Tanakama, simply mentioned you can take animals, chayas and ovas, from a bibar. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said they're not all the same. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Yosef says the halacha shall follow Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Amar le Abaye, halacha michlal de pligi. When you see the term halacha, the halacha shall follow, that indicates that the point was controversial, was the subject of controversy. There was argument over the point. And then a later authority comes and rules follow one, not the other. So Rav Yosef used the term halacha like Shimon Leo. That would indicate that someone was arguing with him. Abaye says, was someone arguing with him? Was the Rabbanan in the Mishnah, the first opinion, were they really arguing with Rav Shimon Gamliel? Did we not, in fact, in the Gemara just before, before we got to Rav Shimon Gamliel, when we were dealing with the Rabbanan, did we not see that in the second bow tie, we said, Halba Bibar Katan, Halba Bibar Gadol, that we explained the Mishnah, the Shitas HaRabbanan, as acknowledging a difference between a Bibar Katan and a Bibar Gadol. What does Rav Shimon Gamliel do? Does he not say they're not all the same? There are large ones, there are small ones. So there's no argument on this point. This is Abaye's question to Rav Yosef. Why do you, Rav Yosef, portray Rav Shimon Gamliel as being, as representing one of two opinions, when the Rabbanan who preceded Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah wouldn't disagree? Omar Lei, Rav Yosef says to Abaye, "My nafka loch mino." What difference does it make to you if I say the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel? As Rashi says, according to you, all the more so the halacha is like what he says because no one argues. Amalei, so Abaye responds, a very fundamental point in learning. And that is that when you choose a word, if the word implies something that is really not the case, then under all circumstances you should avoid using the term. Practically speaking, we're going to follow Shimon Leo, as Rav Yosef says. Either way, if you accept him because you like what he says, you accept him because no one even argues on him. So we're going to follow what he says. Yeah, there's a distinction between a bibur katan and a bibur gadol. That was Rav Yosef's approach. Abaye says, once you use the word halacha, that word implies that someone disagrees, but no one disagrees. And to that Abaye says, he uses a phrase, and he says, Gemara, Gemara, Zemorta Tehe, shall the learning of Gemara be like a mere song? When one sings a song, one can get away with it, so to speak, even if you are not exact in having the tune match the words in perfect synchronization. Torah learning cannot be like that. In Torah learning, things have to be exact. And that's what Abaye was saying to Rav Yosef. Zeh haklal kol hamechusur tzedo oser. In our Mishnah, we saw Rav Shmuel saying that anything that lacks being entrapped, so it will be also for you to take it, because you are doing the trapping. Hechi domi mechusur tzeda. What do you mean by that? Can you describe what a situation of mechusur tzeda would be like? Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, kol shomer havei mitzuda unitzidenu. Any situation where Someone says, bring a trap, a matzud is a trap. A trap could be something like a net or other forms of other items used for trapping. Anyone who says, wait, bring a trap, we need a trap in order to catch it, that would be an example of an animal that is currently mechuser tzeda. Before we continue, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written, Hezbero shel Shmuel lehechidomi mechuser tzeda kol hecha dioimer hove mitzuda unetzidenu. So that was Shmuel's explanation of the Mishnah of Rav Shmuel Leo, who said that if it's mechuser tzeda, so you cannot take it. As the Gemara unfolds, you'll notice triangles in different directions. And under our Mivneh heading, we indicate this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth, give and take discussion. Triangle point facing upwards, kushos, those are difficulties. Inverted triangle, tshuvos, responses. So now we continue in the Gemara. Amar le Abaye, v'ho avozim v'tarnegolim. These are different kinds of fowl. In Gemara markings, we hesitate often when it comes to translating plants and animals. Here, we have a situation like that, where we have to translate avozim. Avozim, in modern Hebrew, is translated as geese. For whatever that's worth, that's one kind of bird. Tarnagolim, that is fairly accepted to mean a chicken. So Abaye says, with regarding avozim and tarnagolim, sheomrim, havei mitzudu nesudenu. People will say, get the trap. Vitanya hatsod avozim and tarnagolim, v'yoni hardesios potter. The Tanaic source says that one who traps these kind of birds, avozim and tarnagolim, Yoni Hadassios will leave off for right now. It's a type of dove. But one who does that on Yom Tov Poter is not considered in violation of Tzedah. Well, according to Shmuel's definition, whenever someone calls out, hey, bring the traps, that is considered Tzedah. So we have a problem on Shmuel. Answer, Omar Rabo Baravuna, Omar Shmuel, Halalu Boin Lukluvon Lo Erev, Vhalalu Ain Boin Lukluvon Lo Erev. The Avozim and Tarnagolim, they, in the evening, the Erev is the evening, they, on their own, go back to their coops. And as a result of that, Rashi points out that one is allowed to catch them even outside of their coops. The other animals that Shmuel originally, where we circled his name, where he says that Havei Mitzudu Tzeno is considered something that needs entrapment and would be usur therefore to catch it, that those are animals, those are creatures that don't go back to their kluv, they don't go back to their cages or their coops in the evening. The Gemara asks, Vehare yoine shovach v'yoine aliyah. These are different types of doves. Yoine shovach are, shovach is a bird coop, and aliyah is a attic. These are types of birds. The boyin lekluvon le'erev, they go back to their homes in the evening. V'tanya, and it says in the following Tanaic source, Atzad Yoinei Shevach V'Yoinei Aliyah V'Tziporim Shekinu B'Tvichim B'Biros Chayov. We want to focus on right now the Yoinei Shevach and the Yoinei Aliyah. It says in this source, one who traps them, even though they're Boyim L'Kluvon L'Erev, one who traps them is Chayov, is in violation. So that you see that the explanation of Boyim L'Kluvon L'Erev is not an answer. It doesn't solve the tzedah problem. Elo Omar Rabo Baravuna Omar Shmuel. You can see this is a kind of second attempt on his part to answer the problem. And he says, Alolu boin l'kluvlon lo'erev u'mezeinoson alecha. The Tarnagoilim and Avozim are birds that not only do they go back to their coops in the evening, but you are obligated to tend to their food, to feed them. And Rashi says, Hilkoch kebehemohein v'chashivi mezumon. In this sense, they're like behemos, and they're considered entrapped. They're considered already available. Mezumon is available. So, even though people might say Havei Mitsuna Tsudenu regarding the Avozim and Tarnagolim, but they have this additional characteristic, they're boyin the Kluvlon, Lo'erev, and Mizonosan Alecha, making them like behemoths. Vahalalu, the ones that you're chayev on, the Yoni HaShoibach, the Yoni HaLiyah, boyin the Kluvlon Erev, the Ein Mizonosan Alecha. Rav Mori Omar, we should note, by the way, this crown shape on the side, Shnei Chilukim Bein Avozim V'Tarnagolim. We're going to see, we have two distinctions between the Avozim V'Tarnagolim on one hand, Shat Sodan Potter, one who catches them on Yom Tov is exempt, Lebein Yoni Havdesias Yoni Aliyah Shat Sodan Chayav. Regarding those kind of doves, we say one who traps them is guilty. So Rav Mori is a second distinction. Rav Mori Omar, Hani Avidi Lirbuye. The Yoinei Shevach, Yoinei Aliyah, they have a tendency to try to escape. Lirbuye is to escape. The Hani, the Avozim, and the Tarnagolim, Lo Avidi Lirbuye. They don't attempt to escape. The Gemara asks, Kulunami Avidi Lirbuye. What do you mean? All birds try to escape, even the Avozim and Tarnagolim. Answer, Likluvon ko'aminon de avidi lirbuye. That means that in the coop as well, they will attempt to escape. Rashi says, second wide line under the Gemara, likluvon ko'aminon de avidi lirbuye, porchem ad kinon, they fly or flutter till their nest, v'tzorch la'al sachrem, and then you have to climb up to where they are nesting, v'gam shom nishmotem imenu v'yordem, and even there, they will drop down and try to escape. So that's as far as the Rav Mori explanation, is that even when they are in their nesting area, they still try to escape. That is what's characteristic of the Yoinei Shevach and the Yoinei Aliyah. The Mishnah. Mitsudos chaya v'oif v'dogim shasom erev yomtov. One set up traps for these different creatures from before yomtov. Lo yitol mehen b'yomtov. One cannot take an animal that he finds on yomtov in the trap. Elim ken yodesh mitsudos erev yomtov. Unless he knows that the animal was entrapped already from before yomtov. There was an incident with a idol worshipper, and it was not known whether it was the fish were caught from Erev Yom Tov or not, unknown. It was brought to Rabban Liel, the Omar Mutarin Hain, and he says, the fish are allowed, Elo She'ein Ritzoni L'Kabel Heimenu, but I don't want to accept it from him, I don't like him. Rashi says, Shani son o, I hate him. So he didn't want to take it. But as far as Rabbi Gamliel is concerned, if there's a doubt whether they were entrapped before Yom Tov or on Yom Tov, that's okay. You can take them. What about the Tanakama? The Tanakama said you cannot take animals from traps unless you know for sure that they were entrapped Erev Yom Tov. So we have a Mishnah that tells us a clear halacha. You must know the animal was entrapped from before Yom Tov before you can take the animal from the trap. And then the Mishnah brings an incident which seems to reflect the opposite, that you don't have to know for sure. The Gemara, Maisa Listar. The Gemara, the Mishnah quoted a Maisa incident with Rabbi Gamliel and the Nochri. Do we quote incidents to contradict the law, the halacha that was said beforehand? Of course not. That's not an acceptable style. If you are bringing an incident to illustrate something, it's here to, not to contradict, but to illustrate that which was said before. So what are we to do with our Mishnah? Chisurei mechasra v'achikatoni. So the Gemara informs us that the Mishnah was left deliberately abridged. And in order to really appreciate the Mishnah, what it's saying, you have to read in more words. V'achikatoni, and thusly, the Mishnah is to be understood. Sofek muchon aser. The Tanakama, the first opinion, said, like we said already, that if you have a doubt when the animal was entrapped, so you cannot take it. V'Rav Gamliel, matir. Rav Gamliel says, if you have a doubt, namely, maybe it was entrapped from before Yom Tov, maybe not, but maybe it was, you can take it. According to Rav Gamliel, when is it forbidden? Only if you knew that the entrapment took place on Yom Tov proper. In such a case, so it wasn't prepared from before Yom Tov, and as we know, we've learned already quite extensively in this Masechta that things that were not prepared and not available from before Yom Tov, so you don't use them, you're not allowed to use them on Yom Tov. But if you have a doubt regarding that, so according to Rav Gamliel, it's okay. And to illustrate that, Umay Sinami, an incident in fact happened as well. This idol worshipper brought fish to Rav Gamliel, and he brought to him the fish to him on Yom Tov, when we don't know when they were trapped. V'yomar mutar enein, and Rav Gamliel said, since it's not known when they were actually caught, so maybe they were caught from before Yom Tov, they're mutar. That I am not accepting them is not because the halacha prohibits it, but I don't like this guy, I don't want to take it from him. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a new marking, and on the side we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. It represents Shnei Shalosh Lashonos, three versions, Shalpsika Shmuel, regarding Shmuel's ruling, the Safek Muchon, or Nitzod Miba'od Yom Aser. Shmuel rules like the Chachomim, that if there is an element of doubt as to when the creature was entrapped, there's an element of doubt whether it was muchan mibod yom, whether it was prepared, available from before Yom Tov, so you cannot use it. So we have three versions of this psak. We turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein halacha k'Rav Gamliel. The halacha shall not follow Rav Gamliel. He, Rav Gamliel, was lenient in a matter of doubt, so we're not going to follow the leniency, and therefore, Safek Muchan is Aser. The Ika Demasni Lo Ahod Esanya, there are those that feature Shmuel's psak on the heels of the following Tanaic source. Safek Muchan, Rav Gamliel Matir, Rabbi Yeshua Oser. This is another Tanaic source, and it says that if there's an element of doubt as to whether something was muchan, was available, prepared from before Yom Tov or not, Rav Gamliel is lenient, Rabbi Yeshua restricts. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua. Seeing that here you have two names, so here Shmuel can say the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. In the previous statement where we saw Shmuel's objection to a case of Safek Muchan, there wasn't another name to refer to, so all Shmuel was able to say was simply in the negative, that Ein Halacha K'Rav Gamliel. But on a functional basis, it's the same result, that Safek Muchan is prohibited. V'Iko D'Masni Lo Ahod Esanya. This is introducing now the third version of Shmuel. There are those that teach him on with regard to the following source. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Note, by the way, that till we get to Shmuel, this will take a long time. You see where the third house marking is, almost halfway down the page. So we have a Tanaic source. Shochten min hanigoren biyomtov, avolo min harashosos umin hamichmoros. The word nigoren, for our purposes, is a bibar, and we explained that earlier. It's an enclosed area, and therefore shochten means you can slaughter, means you'll be taking chayos from a bibar, because in the bibar they're considered already entrapped. But you cannot take animals that are caught in traps, and the reason for that is you don't know when they fell into the trap. So if the animal was in the B-bar, and let's just assume that we're talking about, you know, you had a B-bar, and Erev Yom Tov, you had animals in the B-bar. You can take your animals from the B-bar. However, a trap is something you come upon on Yom Tov, but you don't know when the animal fell into the trap. Those are the Rishosos and the Mechmoros, are traps. So you cannot take from there because it's suffek whether it was entrapped before Yom Tov, before Yom Tov set in or not. Rav Shimon Lozor Omer, Ba Umotzon Mikulkolin Meir of Yom Tov, Biodua Shemer of Yom Tov Nitzodu Umutoren. If you came and found the trap had Mikulkolin, literally means is messed up, but it doesn't mean that here. Just imagine you had a large net that you had stretched from one tree to another, and an animal that's running carefree might just run into the net, and what's going to happen? The force of the animal will cause the net to snap from its connection to the tree, and the animal is now entrapped. That action of the net becoming readjusted, if you will, detached from wherever, whatever it was attached to before, that's what mikulkolin means. So if you find that the trap has already functioned, and you found this to be the case on Erev Yom Tov, so you know that the animal was entrapped, Erev Yom Tov, and hence it's mutter. Bo umotzen mikulkolin biyom tov, if you found the trap mikulkol on Yom Tov, so then biyodua shebiyom tov nitzod v'asurin, then you know that it was entrapped on Yom Tov. There's a Rashi across from here. You see the where the star is. Niskalku biyom tov al korcho hochi mashma. The vada niskalku biyom tov. Gugon shebodka mishachashecha v'lohi mukukolin. V'achshav mukukolin. The according to the understanding right now is that this seifa, the end of this brisa, is talking about a case where you had checked the trap Erev Yom Tov, and you saw that it was still in its original state. It had not trapped anything. And only after darkness set in, only after Yom Tov set in, did you notice it was mikulkol. So if that's the case, so then it functioned as a trap. It entrapped on Yom Tov, and hence the animal is forbidden. So the source, as it appears now, is features two, we'll call definitive situations. If you saw that it had functioned before Yom Tov, so then it is mutter. The animal is mutter. If you find it functioned only on Yom Tov, so the animal is also. What about the middle case? What about the suffix case? So if you were to infer from the Erev Yom Tov situation, when is it mutter? Only if you knew definitively that it entrapped Erev Yom Tov. Leaving room to infer that if you have a doubt, it would be usser. If you emphasize the seifa, when is it usser? Only if you found it to have entrapped on Yom Tov. What if you're in doubt? So then it would be mutter. That is the issue of the bracketed section that we see right now, where there seems to be a contradiction regarding the suffix situation. If you skip the bracketed section, you see Omar, the Gemara at the end says, Omar of Yudah Omar Shmuel, Halacha Kuv Shimon Elazar. The halacha will follow Rav Shimon Elazar, who we will eventually see when we go through the bracketed section. He says that Sofek Muchon is Osir. If, however, you found the trap to have been adjusted, to have changed its state from Erev Yom Tov, then you can rely on that, and only then would it be Mutter. But what you see is Shmuel, the third version of Shmuel, paskening that Sofek Muchan is Aser. So now, that having been said, let's go through the bracketed section. Ha Gufa Kashya. The source that we see here at the top of this omid is inherently contradictory. Amris, you say on the one hand, Bo Motsa Miku Kolon Erev Yom Tov, if you found the trap had been changed from Erev Yom Tov, Biyadua Shem Erev Yom Tov Nitzal, then you know that the animal is entrapped Erev Yom Tov, and hence it's mutter. Time of the Bo Motsa Miku Kolon, the reason that it's mutter is because you found the trap to have been moved. Ha Sveiko, if you have a doubt when it entrapped the animal, Asurin, the result would be prohibition. The diamond is featured on the side under the Mivneh. Ha is the emphasized word, Sveiko. Stira b'diukin b'din safek nitsa. So at this point, we see one side of the stira of the contradiction. Here we see that if you have a doubt when the entrapment took place, we would rule prohibited. Eimo Seifa. The continuation of the source at the top reads, Ba umotzan mikukolon biyomtov, biyodua shebiyomtov nitzor. If you came on Yomtov and discovered the trap to have been adjusted, so the animal is usher. Taimo de ba umotzan mikukolon. The only reason it's usher is because, as we saw before in the Rashi, you had checked it before Yom Tov set in and the trap was still in its original state. You checked it then on Yom Tov after Yom Tov set in and you found the trap was adjusted. So you know that the entrapment took place on Yom Tov. And that's why it's also, because you know that the trapping took place on Yom Tov. It wasn't prepared from before. Ha Sveiko Me'erev Yom Tov Nitzal. However, if you have a doubt, maybe it was entrapped from before Yom Tov. You're not sure. You have a doubt. Maybe it was. Umutaran, the inference would say that in the case of Sufik, it's mutter. Compare the two diamonds. The first diamond says Sveika Surim. The second diamond has you reading Sveika Mutter. The Gemara answers, Hochi Ka'amar. Understand the source as follows. Ba umotzon mikukol amer of Yomtov. If you find the trap had been adjusted from Erev Yom Tov, in other words, it caught something, Biyadua Shem Erev Yom Tov Nitzor Mutaran, the fact that maybe you didn't see the actual animal, but you saw the trap has been snapped out of place, you know that it entrapped the animal Erev Yom Tov, and hence the prey, the game, was available already, entrapped Erev Yom Tov, and hence Umutaran. Hosveka, if you have any doubt as to when the trap functioned, whether it was Erev Yom Tov or on Yom Tov proper, Nase Kemishin Itzelu B'Yom Tov V'Asurin. It's as if the entrapment took place on Yom Tov proper, and therefore, Aser. That is Reb Shimon ben Elazar's teaching. Omar, Reb Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha, Kur Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and Reb Shmuel Paskins, like that, if there's an issue of Sofek Muchan, so you rule restrictively. The Omar Mutarin Hain, this is a quote from the Mishnah with the story involving the Nochri that brought the fish to Rabbi Gamliel, and he declared the fish are Mutar. And that's a case that means it's Sofek Muchan. Rashi on the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, Nochri Shevi Doron Shel Mozon Li Yisrael B'Yom Tov. An idol worshipper that brings a gift of food to a Jew on Yom Tov. Rabbi Gamliel Matir. Rabbi Gamliel allowed Mahu Eteru. When he said it's allowed, what does he mean? L'kabel, does it mean that you're allowed to simply receive it, but not to use it? You're allowed to take it. You're allowed to metaltil it, you're allowed to move it. Or Lechol, does it mean you're allowed to even eat it? So our Gemara continues. Mutarin Lemai, when Rabbi Gamliel ruled that the Sofek Muchan case was allowed for what? Rav Omar Mutarin Lekabel. Rav says it's mutar to receive it, and that means to receive it and move it, to metaltel it. The Levi Omar, mutorin b'achila. Levi goes further and says you can even eat it. And now a long point is made. Omar Rav. Rav was one of the two names we highlighted. Rav says, gives us a piece of good advice. He says, Li'olam al yimna odom atzmo v'beis ha-medrash. Afilu shoachas. One should not withhold himself from being in the place of Torah study, the Beis HaMedrash. This was the place where the rabbis would lecture their Torah lectures, and one should not avoid being there even for an hour. The Anova Levi Havinon Kamei the Rebbe Ki Omro Laha Shmeitza. I and Levi were both present when Rebbe was saying over, when he was teaching this section, namely that Rav Shimon Gamliel is matir when there is a suffix. Suffix muchan is mutar. Be'urta Omar mutar and achila. In the previous evening, Rebbe said in explaining Rav Shimon Gamliel as his heter being its mutar even to eat from it. But safra the next morning, Omar mutarin lekabel. Rebbe had a change of mind. He thought over the topic more and more, and he said that when Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's mutar, it means only to receive, but not to actually eat from it. Ano davoy be midrasha hadri bi. I, who was in the Beis Medrash, not only the night before, but the next morning, so just like Rebbe had his change of mind, I changed. I reversed my original thinking, and therefore I said, like Rebbe said in the morning teaching, that it's mutar lekabel. That's what Rav says, mutar lekabel. Levi de lohava bei midrasha. Levi, who was not in the Beis Medrash the next morning, lo hodar bei. He didn't change. He said what Rebbe had originally taught. Meisvei. We now quote a Tanaic source that will represent a question on one of the two opinions we just saw, lekabel or lachila. Meisvei. Nochri shehevi doron l'Yisrael, afilu dogim hamefulamin uperos b'nei yoimon mutarin. An idol worshiper who brings a gift to a Jew on Yom Tov, even if they are dogim mefulamin, these are fresh fish. Peros b'neyomon means we freshly cut fruit. Bishlamo lemandomar mutarin lekabel shapir. According to the opinion that says that it's mutar to take them, so things are fine. Rashi across says a shapir. He says, V'afogav delav sofek levadai mukta. Even though there's no doubt over here, it's definitely mukta. Iko lemeima demate bitultulo. There's room to say that it'll be mutter to move them around. Okay, so that's shapir. This source is fine. We continue in the Gemara. Elo leman deomar mutarin b'achila. But according to the opinion that says that they are mutter to, one is mutter to eat them, peros b'nei yomon mishoru b'achila, fruit that was cut that day, on Yom Tov day, would anyone allow one to eat them? The Gemara now responds, Uli ta'amech, you, according to you who are asking on the opinion that says mutar l'achila, peros b'nei yomon mi sharo b'tiltul, and fruit that was freshly cut, harvested on Yom Tov day, is it really mutar to move them around? No, even that is usur. So this source, if we keep things literal, won't make sense according to anybody. Elo b'kavri Da'adimi, when the source made reference to the fish that were fresh, it meant they appeared fresh. They were red. They were still appeared fresh as when you cut open a fish, you pull aside its gills and you look in there. If it has this nice red color, so it looks fresh. and upiri the kavishi biyarko askino, and the fruit that appeared to be fresh was fruit that was preserved. Kvishi is to be hidden underneath or preserved in some type of vegetation, and that preserves its freshness. V'amai korulu b'nei yoma. So why are they called b'nei yoma? B'nei yoma means of that day, which led us to think that the fish were caught on Yom Tov and the fruit were harvested on Yom Tov. Shein ke'in b'nei yoma. They were as if they were freshly caught or harvested. They were kept fresh. So the point then of this source is to tell me that even though you've got fish or fruits that appear as if they were caught or harvested that day, that is simply a matter of how they appear. So based on their appearance, so Rabban Gamliel will tell you, you can still take them. Whether it's, we have two opinions, it means move them or eat them, but there's still a suffix as to when they were actually caught, and therefore you can be lenient. Omar Rav Papa, Hilchisa, Nochri Shevi Doron Yisrael B'Yom Tov. Rav Papa now rules concerning this topic of the idol worshiper who brought a gift of food on Yom Tov to a Jew, im yesh me'oysa hamin b'mechubar oser. If that species of fruit is attached, is still growing on trees, it's still in season, if you will, but and it's that type of thing is still found on trees, so you cannot take it. Ula erev nami asurin b'chdei shiasu, and the night following Yom Tov. In other words, he brought them to you on Yom Tov. You cannot, not only can you not eat them on Yom Tov proper, but you can't eat them immediately after Yom Tov either. You have to wait the amount of time it takes to do whatever melacha might have been done. So if it takes a few minutes to climb the tree and then cut the fruit off the tree, you have to wait a few minutes after Yom Tov as well, so as not to benefit from a melacha that was done on Yom Tov. The Gemara continues. V'im ein me'oysa hamin b'mechubar. If the gift that he brought you was a type of fruit that's no longer in season, in the sense it's no longer found on trees, whatever fruit of this variety that exists is in storage, it's no longer on trees. So then we further evaluate. Toich hatchum mutar. If he brought you the fruit from within 2,000 amas of the city or of where you are located, so then it's okay. They weren't brought from outside the tchum. However, chutz l'tchum aser. However, if the fruit came to you, the gift of food came to you from outside the tchum. The tchum, once again, is the limit that one is allowed to walk on Yom Tov, walk and carry things on Yom Tov from where he is located. And likewise, things that come to you from a place that you could not have brought it because it's from outside the tchum, so they are usher. And that's what our Gemara here at the top of Daf Chof Hei is telling us, that if it came to you from outside the tchum, so it is usher. V'habo b'shvil Yisrael zeh, mutter liYisrael achir. However, there's an element of leniency that it, regarding the matter of tchum, if the fruit was brought to you, to a specific Jew, and for you it's coming from outside your tchum, and hence you cannot benefit from it. However, a friend of yours is allowed to benefit from. And Rashi asks, why should a distinction be made? So Rashi concludes that since the Isser of Tchum is only rabbinic, so they didn't impose their restriction other than with regard to the person for whom specifically the item was brought. But for someone else for whom it wasn't brought, and he happens to be there, so he can take from it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.